From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, May 8th, 2012. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
Last Friday, GOI put out a press release proposing acquisition of its rival in commercial satellite imaging, Digital Globe. And since then, all kinds of craziness has happened. And we're going to do our best to figure out what happened and what might happen after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Intergraph. Is your GIS at a gridlock, limited to a few, contained and locked away? GeoMedia Smart Client engages individuals and departments to collectively ignite your dynamic GIS. Geographic changes are interactively implemented across an enterprise-wide smart GIS, seamlessly integrating into configurable workflows. Users leverage advanced geospatial functionality via simple-to-use map-based tools, streamlining their processes to build a smart GIS. Discover the power of geography and build a smarter organization with GeoMedia Smart Client. Learn more at intergraph.com/geospatial.
Okay, so let's recap what we've learned since Friday afternoon. And I think before I go any further, I have to state that we are recording this Monday morning on May 7th, just in case things change between our conversation and when you hear this podcast. So last Friday, GOI put out a press release saying we'd like to acquire Digital Globe, 26% premium over Digital Globe's closing share price on May 3rd, and that would put the price tag at $792 million. The only real statement in the press release was from the chief executive officer and president of GOI, Matt O'Connell. And he basically said, this is a great deal. It's great for the military. It's great for national decision makers. It's great for civil users and disaster relief workers. And it's great for the taxpayer. We should do this. This should work. Come on, Digital Globe. Let's go. It turns out Digital Globe was not so excited about that offer and put out its own press release over the weekend saying, no, thank you. And that press release detailed what had happened before, which included discussions over the last few months, including a proposal from Digital Globe to acquire GOI. And GOI said no. So where we currently stand is that GOI has put out yet one more press release Monday morning saying that it's disappointed that Digital Globe said no. It's going to wait for the government to decide what it's going to do about funding for the long term for Enhanced View. That's the satellite project that both companies have a stake in, and funding has been guaranteed for 2012, but there's no information about what will happen after that. GOI will wait until it gets more information about that and then decide whether to talk again about acquisition or some other plan. My first question in trying to digest all of this, Joe, is why, if there were so many discussions going on in private over the last few months, did GOI take this public on Friday in a press release?
Yeah, it's very surprising. And of course, Digital Globe characterized this as a hostile and public takeover. It seems like the only reason why you would do anything like this is to get the attention of the stockholders, since all of these discussions beforehand had been private. And I think, actually, just as an aside, there are a couple of folks looking into whether each CEO did his fiduciary duty in informing the stockholders about what was going on. So I think that the reason Matt O'Connell came public at this point was in order to rally the troops, get people more engaged, and push in one direction or the other for something to happen. Because there's been so much volatility in the stock price of both companies, certainly precipitated by the May 4th press release, it was almost inevitable that something like this would become public eventually. Either one, it would have come out anyway, would have leaked somehow. Two, there were quarterly reports, public quarterly reports given, one on May 1st by Digital Globe, another one on the May 4th or right before them by GOI. It almost seems as if Matt O'Connell had to come clean on this put the information out there publicly that a merger or acquisition was in the works and forced the hand of Digital Globe to do something one way or the other.
In my research, I understand that the GOI shares have lost 31% in value over the last year, and Digital Globe stock has lost nearly half its value. So they're both not looking so great, and a lot of that has to do with what's going on with the federal government.
The Enhanced View contract, under review as it is, has created a great deal of consternation among the shareholders of both companies. The stocks have fluctuated on any news that's come out. Everybody's waiting to see what the NGA was going to do with the Enhanced View. Other news circulating around, in particular, statements made by the Director of National Intelligence, Jim Clapper, indicating that, from what I read, that he thinks that the government can handle this without the need for commercial satellites. And I remember him making a statement back at the GEOIN conference that things were going to have to change in order to meet the budget constraints that the U.S. government is facing. We also heard, and just to back that up, is that something's gone on at the National Reconnaissance Office. Bruce Carlson is leaving that post as director, and I believe there was discussions that among people in the intelligence community that the NRO could handle some of the needs of the NGA and whatnot. So it left the commercial satellite providers kind of in limbo, hence the volatility in the stock price.
All right, well, let's go back to the price that GOI offered, $792 million. And I'm the first to say that I'm pretty naive about what these kinds of numbers mean. That number didn't sound big enough because I know that Facebook bought Instagram for $1 billion.
The way that O'Connell valued it, 792, was half, I think, in, I'll have to look at the numbers, I believe was half in cash and half in stock.
Right.
No, it doesn't sound like a lot, but if you look at the market cap of each company, actually the market cap of Digital Globe is in that range. Well, it was in that range because of the stock price on Friday. I valued it up at that range. So essentially, they're not paying any premium on the market price. Digital Globe did not think it was a fair value for the price. They thought it undervalued what it was. They believed they could get. What's the value? Well, the value is what people will pay, right? It's not either high or it's low. It's whatever people believe it will be worth. And Digital Globe, in this case, believed that they were undervalued. I'm not so sure we should focus on the price. It's a matter, I think, of whether these two companies are eventually going to get together. And I think they will. I think eventually something will happen where they're going to be forced at this point to acquire. Either one will acquire the other, or there'll be some sort of merger. Or I might speculate that another larger defense contractor may swoop in. To me, 792 isn't a big number, as you said. Heck, Google or Microsoft could swoop in, which I thought long ago would happen, that one of those bigger companies would buy a satellite company. I think now that those companies will probably merge.
So they would merge and be
a single entity.
A single entity. What if one of these defense contractors came in, I'm making this up, Raytheon or Northrop Grumman or something like that, would they just buy one of them or would they buy both of them?
I believe you would see them buy one. I don't think you'd buy both. I would think it would almost leave one in limbo, unfortunately. Let's face it. If you look at the birds that are up there, the resolution on the satellites are virtually the same. They're very close. They really do look like we're duplicating efforts here with the same type of resolution and the same spectral resolution on the satellite. Hence the reason why these two companies ought to get together. As it is, the constellations are more than adequate to handle probably the needs of the intelligence community, with the caveat that they're going to build out the constellation that we know it as it is now, the next generation WorldView and GOI satellites.
I think you're exactly right. And I know that when I read announcements from either one company or the other, I can't keep track of them because they're telling the same kinds of stories. They're doing the same kinds of work at the same kinds of resolution. I can't even remember which of Microsoft or Google uses which one. And honestly, it sort of doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, that's exactly the point, is that the resolution, spectral or spatial, is virtually the same. Now, we can discuss whether, from a competitive standpoint, you want two companies offering commercial imagery. Can they compete in the world community? Okay, so let's look at Astrium Eads. The Pleiades satellites will probably be of equal spatial or spectral resolution, but I would imagine the government, the U.S. government, does not want to rely on a foreign satellite to acquire their imagery. The government created this situation to some degree in having these two nearly identical competitors.
And funding them regularly year after year.
Yeah, so why do it, right? We kind of got ourselves into this situation. Long term, what's going to happen, I think, is the biggest question. From a need standpoint, do we need a big constellation up there by two competing companies? Probably no. You need a constellation, I believe, of a commercial nature, absolutely. But I believe there will be other platforms available, either in the form of microsatellites that you could launch and get up there relatively quickly that have limited life cycle for cheaper, or even UAVs.
So does that mean that this giant experiment that's been going on for all these years, and remember back, we used to have three, right? We had space imaging, and we had orb image, and we had Digital Globe.
Right, that's right.
And then there was consolidation, and they turned into two, and now we're finding we don't need even two, one will be just fine.
And I would bet that whether it's a defense contractor or some other company down the road that would launch, that would see the need to launch or see the commercial viability to launch other types of commercial satellites for specific purposes. We have specific satellites for weather and other Earth observation systems, coastal zone mapping. Why not have something much more specific, either that serves the intel community or serves more of a commercial venture, whether it's oil or forestry or agriculture?
Right. My first thought was, oh, heavens, the government isn't going to let these two merge. That would be a monopoly. But the more I thought about it, and the more I thought about the fact that so much of the product of this merger is going to the government, and as you point out, we don't really want to go to foreign providers. It should sail through. And in fact, Colin Clark, who's a defense writer at AOL, said the same thing, and let me quote, "Given the unique nature of this transaction and the fact that the companies largely depend on one customer, NGA, I would be surprised if the government raised any legal objection to the purchase."
And it sets up an interesting dynamic, too. It not only becomes, I think, a really weird situation. It not only becomes a potential monopoly, a potential monopsony, so that you not only have a single seller, but you have a single buyer in the government, the single seller being the commercial, one commercial satellite company, and a single buyer, majority of single buyer in the U.S. government. A very strange competitive situation arises if these two companies merge.
I'm beginning to understand that we not only had a failure in the sense of the government supporting two competing entities, which we really only needed one, we also have this failure, and we've talked about this before, of commercial satellite imaging just never really making it in the commercial sector.
That is a real problem. And why is that? Well, it's because these two companies relied heavily on government contracts for the majority of their revenue, thus not really letting the price accommodate a market position. What you want is you want to sell imagery on the open market, let the market set the price. Here, the government set the price. They were the majority buyer in this case. So neither Digital Globe nor GOI really had to rely on an open market to compete. So it wasn't going to survive in an open market unless the government was not the primary buyer of the satellite imagery.
Right. So the two biggest commercial users of the imagery that most citizens know of are Bing and Google, right?
Right. Those are the two largest ones. But and so who else might be the other large purchasers? Well, it could be somebody like an oil company, or it could be educational institutions. This is the problem way back when Landsat first launched. The imagery was so expensive that you had two industries that could rightfully afford it. And it's those two that I just mentioned. I was in the oil business at the time. We could afford it. And the educational institutions could afford it because they were getting grants to do research on what the potential applications of Earth observation satellites could be. Everybody else was left to come up with the money to buy one or two satellite tapes, the old 8-track tapes, buy a tape, and the equipment to visualize it, interpret it, analyze it, process it. Those were expensive things that went on in the early and mid-80s. And really, not much has changed because even in the commercial side, as we find ourselves now, it's still expensive. So we're in a real funny situation right now.
Well, it sounds like your vision, and the more I think about it, the more it makes sense, is that either somebody's going to buy one and the other is going to disappear, or they're going to come together. And it sounds like you're expecting that they will come together as opposed to be acquired by some third party.
I think they're going to have to come together. If you look at the other options here, which would be, like you said, a Boeing or a Raytheon or a Lockheed, who are really in the space business as it is, they too are under pressure at this point in time because the defense budgets will decline. They're going to face some competitive pressures. I think they're going to stay on the sidelines until we know what the Congress is going to do in further jiggling with the defense budgets for fiscal 2013 and beyond, because of sequestration that's facing them. Everybody's on hold. Here in Huntsville, we're all chewing our nails off at this point, waiting for to see what happens with the budget. So I don't think a defense contractor is going to swoop in here and make the play that they need to bail these two companies out.
No matter what happens, we'll be doing our best at Directions Magazine to keep you up to date on what's going on with GOI and Digital Globe.
This podcast was brought to you by Intergraph. Complete your existing desktop GIS by engaging a larger audience with your geospatial assets. With GeoMedia Smart Client, individuals across your organization can easily create data, maps, and reports. Finally, even novice GIS users can leverage advanced GIS functionality in a smart way. To learn more, visit intergraph.com/geospatial.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can tweet us at @directionsmag, or you can leave a comment at Directions Magazine, where this podcast is hosted.
And from us here at Directions, we'd like to remind you that it's time to register for the Location Intelligence Conference. Our event will be held May 22nd and 23rd in conjunction with the Oracle Spatial Users Conference. Find out more details at locationintelligence.net.
Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.